Hello, Alchemists, and welcome back to Lab Tech. It's been a while since we've had an episode. There was one a couple of weeks ago talking about circulating supply, but it's definitely been a while since I've been on it, so that's all I really care about. But but we have been very busy, which is why there's been a slight absence. But we're going to give you a recap of everything we've been up to over pretty much the summer, I guess. There's been a lot of excursions abroad for various reasons. So let's get into it, I guess.
Absolutely. It's been such a long time. I've almost forgotten how this works.
Yeah, me too. I was how close do I have to get to the mic? It's a normal question. But so let's start off with a bit of a recap on where we've been and what we've been up to. I guess it actually goes back to the end of June, I want to say, which is Cannes.
Yes, I think that was the first trip that we undertook. So
that was obviously in the south of France. Very interesting. It's an ad tech conference for those people who don't know, who aren't initiated into the world of Cannes Lions. There's quite a lot of quite a broad spectrum of the advertising market there. There's the people who actually go to the event, which is mainly creatives who are trying to win their first Cannes Lion, Golden Lions, Silver Lions, whatever it is, for creative execution of adverts, which is always the slightly sexier bit of the industry. But across the rest of Cannes, there is a lot of venues which are run by ad tech companies. So just goes to show where the money is, really, I think. But
and there is an obscene amount of money. Last year, I remember, was my first Cannes, the only Cannes lineup that I've been to. And I was completely bowled over by the amount of money that is there in the field of advertising.
Yeah, Candrew was out. So there's kind of the Quizette, which is all along the beaches. They're all kind of taken over by our tech companies. There's the port, which is full of quite large yachts that are sponsored by certain ad tech companies. And really for us, it's always quite interesting because it's a bit of a milestone, I guess, in the journey of Alchemy. So I've done three now, and just the conversations that we have are a lot different. The brand recognition of Alchemy is a lot different. Having the conversations that we have there as well are with varying levels of seniority. So I think I actually started off on Veracity Lunch, which was on the Monday, which was quite interesting. Spoke to quite a lot of people there. But throughout the week, we had meetings with various C-suite people, ad tech companies. I know you've been involved in some of those conversations kind of back here along the lines of kind of integrations and things like that.
Absolutely.
We've been speaking to quite a lot of senior people about integrating Alchemy into what they're doing and vice versa. That gives us a lot more access to a lot more buyers across a lot more platforms. And interoperability really is the way that ad tech does most of its business. So us being able to speak to them, speak to their C-suite as well, gets decision made a lot quicker, I always find, than kind of going through the normal channels. But yeah, for Alchemy to have a brand recognition there as well, it's pretty massive. So hopefully next year it will be a yacht or a beach, I think. That's the aim. But yeah, yes, we'll see what happens.
Keeping my fingers crossed for that one. Sure.
Then onwards, I guess the next part was your trip.
I actually wanted to ask, Joe, what was the biggest topic for discussion this time at Cannes?
So it was really SPO. So we kind of went from last time around, last year, it was very much about kind of green solutions. But the problem is that nobody really has a solution currently. It's just like what we can do is we can audit everything that you're doing. So not even in real time. We can just check afterwards the partners that you use, how green they might be, and then we'll give you some sort of made up score that we just decided. But really what has led to that is you can't really do any of that unless you have good SPO, which is, again, for the uninitiated, is supply path optimization. So if you don't know who all the partners are that you're working with, sometimes you might think you're working with one partner, but really it's being arbitraged by another, that sort of thing. So for a lot of advertisers, or mainly the agencies who are doing the work, but they have really focused on SPO because without that, they can't even get to that ESG score or the more efficient, greener pipes. Obviously, Alchemy is the most optimized path of supply, given that we directly integrate with publishers and buy side platforms, DSPs.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was kind of the main thing. I think they're kind of looking at it as an opportunity for them to also control who they work with a lot more. So yeah, being in those conversations is also very good.
And were there any conversations around AI and how that is affecting ad tech, or are we far away from those conversations?
Yeah, no, we are. I think there's people thinking about it. Disney did launch a platform which was an RFP response platform that uses AI. So that was kind of the first big person using it, I guess. I think there's a lot of people like throwing it around, but they're not really using it for very much at the moment. So the green pastures are there, because we know that it's quite a human intensive task at the moment. And also within that, you get a lot of inconsistencies because people are fallible, whereas kind of machines and AI aren't so much. So yeah, it's kind of moving in that direction. But again, I don't think anyone really has anything built to really utilize AI yet. I think a lot of the content creation, advertorial stuff, that a lot of that is using large language models, which you would probably expect. But in terms of kind of planning and executing campaigns, it's not really anything out there at the moment.
That's very interesting to hear. I look forward to having a demonstration of the DSA. Well, it should be demonstrable much before the next can. But
nice.
Yeah. We'll definitely look forward to that one.
Yeah, one for Q4 maybe. So yeah, I guess the next trip was your trip to India.
Yes, so that was a very interesting trip. It was not just me, but a few of our colleagues here in London. We had Millie travel over with me and Alice and Geddy as well. These are people who are an integral part of our team. They look at various aspects of development and management and marketing. So one of the main goals was for us to meet the team back in Bangalore, which a lot of our team here in London hadn't met so far. So one of the main goals was to meet the team. We've worked very hard on Labs V2, on the DSA, and there are so many projects that are still ongoing. So it was very important for us to get the team under a roof, meet each other, and develop those personal relationships going beyond just people that you talk to in a meeting. So that was very, very important for us to establish that personal contact, which was very well achieved in this trip. We ended up not only working together, but also going on personal expeditions, culinary trips, where we introduced Millie, Alice, and Geddy to all the Indian cuisines. It's probably a separate episode that we will need with Millie on board to talk us through what her favorite cuisines were. But I'll leave it at that. Also, we had a very successful hackathon that we organized. This was called Ad3X Hackathon, which was our first hackathon that was conducted in Bangalore. And many of you may know that Bangalore is the Silicon Valley of India. So that's where a lot of software development happens. A lot of multinational companies, Fortune 500 companies actually set up their development centers. And so have we, keeping with the tradition. So we have a 35-member strong team in Bangalore currently. And we wanted to expand the reach and let people in Bangalore, in India, know about Alchemy. And also in the process, spread the knowledge that we have gained so far. So we conducted a hackathon where we had about 300 odd interested people who registered with us. And given the size of the venue, we filtered that down to about 130 registrants, out of which we had 125 turn up. So that was a very good turnout, you know, given that, you know, when you have a certain number of participants register for an event, and to have such high numbers turn up for the event is a very good sign in itself. So we had about 125 participants turn up, and then we had about four different problem statements that we had come up with, all related to advertising and AI ML. We had some of our team members who were designated as mentors, who had solved the challenges prior to the hackathon, so that they would be well equipped in mentoring the participants. Quite a lot of who were students who were just out of university or still in university. So we wanted to provide them a learning opportunity. So these mentors would be able to give them tips on how to go about solving the challenges. When they came up with the ideas, we give them shape and we tell them this is how you approach a certain problem or this is how you come up with a solution. So at the end of it, we had about 25 different teams who came up with various solutions. And they were very, very creative, very innovative solutions that I really enjoyed reviewing. We've almost finalized the winners of the hackathon, which we will be announcing shortly as well. Some of the key highlights from the hackathon for me were there was one participant, Cho, I must tell you, who was all of 15 years old.
Wow.
And he teamed up with his sister and they solved one of the challenges that we had and came up with a brilliant solution. So that was one of the key highlights for me. And then people who hadn't met each other, who had registered as individuals, not as teams, came to the venue, found people that they had never met before, formed a team, stayed overnight, and then went about solving the challenge. It was a very good solution as well. So these are some of the takeaways, you know, and I will relish this this event forever.
That's amazing. We might have some future entrepreneurs in that group.
Absolutely. And I must say that these kids, they're far younger than I am, are so brilliant. You know, they are so mature for their age. They are so creative and innovative and aren't afraid to explore new opportunities and challenges. And that for me was a key learning because it was not just we teaching them how to approach challenges and what technology is all about, what ad tech or AI is all about. It's about us learning from them, their enthusiasm, their keenness to take on challenges and come up with innovative solutions. That was a big learning for me. So I think I've learned more than I have given. Quite selfish in that sense, but it was a wonderful event.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think it's... we always talk to a lot of people about how we have such a big team in Bangalore. And I think that a lot of the time when businesses, especially from the West, like Europe, US, whatever, set up an office in India, it's just a team over there of a lot of talented people, but they don't necessarily integrate them as part of the company. So I think that's always been our aim, is to make sure that everybody feels like one team rather than two separate teams separated by however many thousands of miles that is.
No, that's very true. In fact, it's not just about development centers and integrating teams, but also we are looking at moving ahead from that and exploring India as a market.
Yeah.
Because in fact, this is something that was reiterated by Puran, who was one of the keynote speakers, Puran Malani, who is a veteran in the ad tech industry, who was one of our keynote speakers. And he also stated the same, where we've moved beyond India as a back office, India as a development center, to India being a market for some of our key products. And given the amount of people and the number of internet users, the number of smartphone users that there are in India, and the number of potential ad impressions that we can generate in India, it's a huge market for Alchemy. And that is something that we're all very keen to explore.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting when we went to visit, was it Mediacom? And we sort of asked them what their sort of normal campaign looked like. And I think he said, the reach that we normally look for is somewhere between 130 and 180 million people. And I was just completely blown away by that, because that is, you know, a double, if not more, the size of the UK, which is kind of amazing. But I guess there's a lot more eyeballs, there's a lot more kind of people consuming media as well. So it makes sense as an emerging, you know, big emerging market for us to be based there.
Absolutely. And advertising in India touches all aspects of our lives, be it cricket, which is a craze, or be it movies, you know, which is another craze, you know. One of our friends was actually saying that you can actually relate to every person in India using a few common factors, cricket and movies being two of them. So if you are supporting a cricket team, or if you're following the movies, the Bollywood, you would almost always have something common to talk about with anybody on the street.
So yeah, and then I guess the sort of next trip after that was ECC, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
So that was great. I mean, Dinat again didn't go into the main room, just like didn't in Cannes, but that's because most of the action happens in the sort of side events. We had a pretty jam-packed schedule, as well as like meetings. We also had like events to go to. So yeah, it was really exciting. Again, it's like we're having very different conversations to the ones we were having like last year or the year before that, really. So being able to talk to people about a lot more high level, bigger plays is always interesting. Probably can't talk too much about the specifics of those details because I'm sure they'll all come out in good time. But yeah, there was quite a lot of good chats that we had. So just like introducing people to what we were doing and why it was interesting. And also, yeah, speaking to kind of various people with money there, which is always good.
Absolutely. I didn't have the opportunity to visit ECC this time, but I really look forward to attending the next one. Also, we had the Mad Fest in London, didn't we?
Yes, actually, that was just down the road. I'd almost forgotten about that, but it was pretty close to our office in Shoreditch. So that is quite a well-attended event as well. Over 3 days, it is a bit crazy, as it sounds like mad, but also marketing-based, marketing ad tech. And yeah, it was great. There was a lot of people that we spoke to there as well, especially about having specific like crypto audience. That's quite unique for a lot of people. But also just again, because we're offering something a bit unique as an infrastructure play, not many people have seen anyone do anything different. You'll find a lot of ad tech is generally built by the same people to the same specs or, you know, slightly different use cases, things like that. So for us to be talking about using validators as a service, for example, that is something that is very outside of most people's like sort of understanding. So, you know, once you explain it to them and tell them why it's valuable, most people get it, because that is a headache for most ad tech businesses, is how much they spend on cloud infrastructure, which is kind of why the fees are so high. Explaining to those kind of people and getting them to understand it in our language rather than necessarily just like, okay, yeah, cool, how much do you charge for a CPM, or, you know, what's the new ad format that you've got, or how are you targeting users, which is kind of the general conversation that goes on there. We ended up having some pretty interesting chats, a lot of them, as is the way at conferences during networking events, so kind of on the fly with brand new people that we'd never met before, which is always good.
Are you still being referred to as the blockchain boys?
Actually, not so much anymore, but that's mainly because Kieran O'Kane's not around, but he wasn't there. But yeah, that's always the kind of simple answer for people. It's like, how can you do this? It's like, because blockchain. So that's kind of normally how it ends up going. But most people kind of information level stops there. They don't really understand any more than that anyway, so they don't bother asking too many questions, which is fine.
I mean, it's true, you know, not everybody needs to know what's under the hood.
Yeah.
As long as it's easy to use, easily integratable, and provides value, I think the battle is won.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably find that probably more than 60% of people who work in programmatic advertising don't understand how programmatic advertising works. So, you know, what we do is no different to that, really.
So, what are some of the events or some of the key things to look forward to from this point on?
Well, I think we've got quite a good roadmap in place where there's quite a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. Events-wise, I think we're kind of calming down for a bit now. I don't think there's too much until September, potentially. And we're not definitely sure whether we're going to go to all of those events. But in terms of building out the roadmap, there's quite a few pieces on that, right, Chandru?
There is quite a lot coming out. In fact, there's the DSA that's coming out. There's opening up of the validators to the community. That's another big event. And there are a lot of other smaller releases that we're working on leading up to opening up of the validators to the community. I think we'll probably touch upon all of that and more in the next episode.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an episode in itself, because the opening up of the validators is a pretty big piece and there's quite a lot of information that we need to share with people. But yeah, just so everyone's aware that it hasn't been released yet, so you can just hold your horses and we'll be releasing that over the sort of next month or so.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think that kind of is everything that we had to talk about for this part of this episode. I think there'll be another one coming out soon talking about reward estimator and validators and LPs. Just a bit of a recap on that. But yeah, getting two out in quick succession because we've been away for so long, so making up for lost time. Thanks everyone for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We'll see you all soon.